Romans chapter 2. But somebody asked me, can you say something encouraging? You know, and I'm just paraphrasing it. But you know what? What would life be if everything was hunky-dory? What would life be like?
I don't know. I think it'd be good.
Yeah. You say that now, brother, but then why would you need God? If everything is perfect, what would bring you to God? And this, I'm telling you the truth here. I had a gentleman say, why do I need God? I got this, and he pulled out his checkbook. If everything was great and every time you came to church, you were happy and it was bum, 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 I think we would live a false life. We wouldn't live reality. Because God's word is there for what? Reproof. It's there for correction. It's there for edification. It's there to build us up. But if we don't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, how will we change? How will we learn to live? Especially in the deception of the world that's out there. A lot of deception, everything, you know, we can get in and into, and that's what the Word of God is for. And that's what Paul is talking about here in the first two chapters. It may be harsh, it may be convicting, you may be getting, you might even get mad over it. But it's there so that we can look to the goodness of God. That's the way I look at it. I just don't want everything to be, you know, and because then you'll be so heavenly minded, you'll be no earthly good. How can people the world relate to that? You got to be real. I have problems. I have a headache. But that doesn't, I don't allow that to determine my worship of God. I'm still worshiping. I'm still up here, even though I have to squint my eyes. I'm still going to try to read what I have here to the best of my ability. But that's why. Word of God is powerful and more powerful than any two-edged sword, and it rightly divides. It's separating our spirit, our life with God from the world, that we can worship Him and we can praise Him in spirit and in truth, not in deception, not in an outward appearance like Paul was mentioning to the Jews. It was all this outward appearance. In fact, he told them when he was addressing them, let me turn there. He says, you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering in verse 4, not knowing that those are the things that leads us to repentance. So maybe you're hearing conviction of that Holy Spirit. You're saying, well, I want something that's going to make me feel good and something that's going to make me, you know, and jump up. But maybe you're despising when God says, no, or bad boy, sit, you know. That goodness is that there to lead us to repentance. That's the way it is. And it's reality. It's the reality of life. He says, but it's in the accordance of your hardness of your impenitent heart that you're treasuring up for yourself the wrath and the day of wrath and revelations of the righteous judgment of God. I mean, if we don't allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit, what we're doing is we're just treasuring up. One day we're just going to fall. And how great the fall will be. Now look at verse 6, because this is where he lay. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning. Speak to us through your word, and may it be that two-edged sword. May it really divide our life, and that we can be more of you and less of us, that we could decrease so you can increase. And may we be encouraged by that. May we be encouraged by how Paul spoke in chapter 1 to the Gentiles, to their sin, to their lifestyle of practice and willfully disobedience of sin in their lives. And may we look at that and say, okay, am I that person that also might not do that sin, but it's okay. I'm okay with it. As long as they don't put it upon me, they can live the way they live, or it's okay, and or maybe even get excitement of that, Lord, because that's what you tell us in the Word in chapter 1 there, It's not only that your wrath will be against those who practice such things, but those who approve of them. So that the word of God is there so that you can open our life to our true condition, that we need you. And the thing, the beautiful thing about the conviction of your Holy Spirit and the exhortation of it, the rebuke of it, is that it makes us pure as gold. It refines us. And you just put us under the fire and you take the impurities out and we become pure as gold to your eyes, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the beauty of it. Thank you for the blessings of it, the power of it. It's not just the word, but it's power of God unto salvation. Thank you for it, Lord. Continue to let it nourish us, build us up as Christians, and get us up and get us out there to the world to invite, to encourage, to be that witness that you called us to be unto a dying world. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So we left off at verse 6. Look what he says after he was talking to the Jews. He was saying, hey, you guys, you know, the Gentiles, they might suppress the existence of God in their life and the existence of him even in the world. But you guys, you who believe in me, you who, the Jews, you guys who worship me, you guys are despising the richness of his goodness. His forbearance, his long suffering, knowing that that's all there to lead you to repentance. So they fail to see that God's trying to bring them to repent. And then in verse 6, he goes on, he says, and he said, the Lord says, who will render to each one according to his deeds? You know, how many of you believe God is a just God? He's fair, right? He's fair. I mean, has anybody ever felt that he wasn't fair to you? I think I have, only because that was my flesh. No, you're not fair, Lord. You're not fair. I felt that this morning when I came out and pulled up in my truck and I opened my door and I found out my backpack, the contents in my backpack was stolen in Mexico. Somebody broke into my truck. They took, but no, let me tell you, all things work for the good. Now listen, this is the funny part of it. I had this big case, black case, with a bunch of CDs in it. They took it. All worship music. So I figured that God wanted them to have that so they can get the word of, it's all have word of God in there, Bible, CDs. The word of God needs to get spread out to Mexico, so that's why I took it, because they're going to open it up, they go, oh, I scored. And they're going to see the word of God on CD. They're going to see worship music. And you know, I'm sure that's going to be passed around. It's going to be passed around. And people are going to listen to this. And seeds are going to be planted. And people may even get saved. But they're really going to freak out when they look at that one CD that says Bigfoot vocals. I got a CD that says Bigfoot vocals. Conversation of Bigfoot. What is this? They'll put it in there. Oh, no, there is a Bigfoot. Lord, come in to save me, you know. It's so funny. I'm just cracking up. All things work for the good to those in Christ Jesus according to his will. And I saw that this is a way, opportunity to get the gospel out. They took it. Now, how they got into my truck, somehow they went underneath and they disconnected the horn because the alarm never went off because I don't have a horn. I realized this morning I don't have a horn. So somehow my truck is high. They just went under there and they disconnected the horn, got into my truck. The beauty of it is, and this is why I feel this is God, because my wife's purse was in there. My daughter-in-law's purse was in there. My son's wallet was in the door. My wallet was in the door, and all they took was a bunch of CDs. That was it. That's all they got. They got my backpack, which the only thing in there that I can think of was it was my favorite Lucky backpack. That's what I'm bummed out about. The one that I got from China when I go across Bibles. My plug for my phone, but I can't remember what else I put in there, so maybe it's good that I don't. They took that. They took the car ministry. They took our machine that reads codes on the cars. So they took that. But I thank God that they didn't take the most important things, and that's my wife's and my daughter-in-law's license, their money, cards, all this stuff. They took the word of God. They're going to be surprised when they've not already have. They open it up. They're going to just, hey, you want this? You want this? I look at it, it's going to get distributed out. That's the way I was a missionary, and I got the word out in Mexico through worship and God's word. Isn't that neat? I think it's cool. But you know what? Every one of us is going to, he's going to render to each one according to his deed. And when I pulled up this morning, I was like, I was really burdened by that. And it's like, oh, to the point where I almost wanted to cry out of not being hurt, but out of anger. Lord, I can imagine David, how long shall the unrighteous prosper? God said, not long, because as the grass wither, so will their time come. And I said, Lord, please save them. Through those, and pray for that through those, that worship music, it's all full of worship music and the Bible on DVD, the Bible on CD, that God would use those to get the gospel out. So I'm able to let that go. And so, but God's going to render to each one of us according to our deeds. That's the basic principle of God's judgment. That's going to be according to what we do. That's how he's going to judge. It's going to be according to truth. Now, Paul's not talking this in regards to salvation, because salvation is not of works. It's a free gift from God. We're not getting salvation by our works, because if that's the case, none of us will go. Because not any one of us can do enough to be saved. Can you imagine? I don't know how the Jehovah Witnesses do it. But when we were in Mexico, that's all I saw down there, was Jehovah Witnesses out in the streets everywhere. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be amazing if Christians were like that? I got to commend them for their commitment to the lie there. They're committed to the false lie. And here, how much are we committed to the truth? Wouldn't it be amazing if all the church, all the Christians got out and we were walking the streets sharing the gospel? You know, Paul says that we're going to be judged according to our deeds. And one day all the unbelievers, they're going to stand before God. They're going to stand before that white throne judgment. And they will be judged for their sins and what they did and not accepting the Lord. But us as believers, we're going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ. One day you will stand before the Lord. And you're going to be judged for what you did for him. Not for your sin. You're not going to be judged for your sin. You're going to be judged for what you did for him. And if he got the glory, not if you get the glory. Because if you, everything you do for the Lord, and you do it for, and you accept all that, wow, great job. Thank you. That's all. That's your reward, that right there. That's enough. You're just going to get that attaboy award. But we're going to stand before Jesus, and we're going to be given jewels for our crown. We're going to be rewarded for what we do, only to just give it right back to him. That's what we're going to be judged. He says, you're going to be judged. He's going to render everything according to your deeds. In fact, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 21, he says, surely we did not know this. Does not he who weighs the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deed? I mean, God knows what he's doing, right? Even when we don't know what he's doing, God knows what he's doing. The word render, it means he will perform, he will reward, God will give back. The Lord will reward and give back to those who don't what? Despise his goodness. Those who seek him while he can be found. Those who do good deeds, good works, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says that we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that's what you're made for. We're made for good works in Christ Jesus. Not good works in Steve Morales. In Christ Jesus. My works is filthy rags. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he says, blessed is the servant in whom the master, when he comes, will find him doing well. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? When he comes back, I pray all the time, Lord, let me have that faith that you're looking for when you come back. He says, when the Master returns, blesses the man that he finds doing well. How happy he'll be. So what will the Lord reward those who are faithful? Look at verse 7. He says, eternal life to those who by patience continuing doing good and seeking glory, seeking honor, immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jews first and also the Greeks. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For there is no partiality with God. So I really believe Paul's saying here that a true saving faith will lead you to a life and results of what? Of obedience and godly living. I think that's what Paul's saying. That's what the Word of God is going to lead us to. And being obedient to the Lord is going to lead us to obedience and godly living. Even though you're not perfect, we're not perfect. We fail. We fail many times. But as long as we, what? Patiently, continually seek and obey Him, as long as we repent, as long as we honor, we glorify Him, you know what? His judgment is faithful and He's just to forgive us of our sins. How many of you believe that? How many here believe that? You blow it all the time. It's true. Every sin that he mentioned in chapter 1 against the Gentiles, we might not do all of them, we might not do a specific one, but there's one in there that we're doing. So again, his judgment is just. He's faithful. But when it came to looking at the deeds of the Jews, that God saw that they were just as wicked as the Gentiles. You're just as bad as them. He saw, even though they kept their customs, even though they kept their feasts, their traditions, they honored the Sabbath day, they specifically certain times, certain hours of the day, they did their traditions. Just like us. The Lord saw in their daily life, he found that they were disobedient. And that the blessing of God, it didn't lead them to repentance. They were good at, hey, it's, okay, time for prayer, let's pray. Ooh, okay, time's up, let's go our way. You know, okay, it's time to light the candles. Let's do the worship of God. Oh, you know, it's this time. But the time in between the times that they were worshiping God, that time of their own personal lives, that's when they were disobedient. That's when God says, okay, you're doing this service here, but here's the service, and then you got this long stretch of time that your own personal time. Let's look at that. You are, what you are in this time, you need to be in this time. So what you are in public here in church, you need to be in private. That's what God's going to look at. Because right now, we look good, right? We're sitting in church. We got our Bibles. We're praising God. We're worshiping God. But how about when 11 o'clock comes? You know, we're going to go out there. What are we going to be doing out there? God says that's what he's going to be looking at. That's the deeds. Look at verse 11. He says, for there is no partiality with God. God's without respect of persons. And you know what? His judgment's going to come, and there will be absolutely no partiality. There's not going to be no favoritism. He has no favorites when it comes to his judgment. God favors no one. This is what he says. There's no partiality. I thank God. Don't you thank God that he doesn't love me more than you? People come up, Pastor, pray for me. Okay, that's fine. Can you go pray for this person? Sure. Did you pray for him? No, I want you. You're the pastor. God hears your prayers just as much as he hears mine. Probably more so. God, there's no partiality with God. He loves us all the same. He does. His love does change. It's when we're disobedient, that's when he loves us more. I realize that. But there's no partiality of God. You know, God is without respect. He loves us and he cares for us. He cares for everyone. And the same will be for his judgment, guys, for his rules, for his principles. He shows no partiality. Can you imagine how the Jews felt about that when Paul was saying that here in verse 11? Hey, there's no partiality with God. What? Man, they consider themselves the chosen people of God himself. They felt that they was deserving this special treatment. And Paul was explaining to them that their Jewish laws only made them what? More guilty and more wrong in their doing their wrongdoings. They're more accountable. See, that's what with us as Christians, we're more accountable than those who are non-Christians. Because why? We know better. We have the Word of God there. So when God says, okay, this guy, he's not even following after the Lord, and he's living a life of sin, he's practicing, well, because he doesn't know better. He doesn't have the Word of God. But this guy, he's a Christian. See, he has the Word of God. He's doing the same thing he's doing, but he has the Word of God that says, don't do it, and he's doing it. Guess who's more accountable? And then, you know, that's what Paul was trying to point out to them. You know what, guys? Yeah, you guys might consider yourself God's chosen people. We are. But we have a more greater accountability, especially leadership in the church. Guys, pastors, elders, leaders, you who represent God to the people and the people to God, you are more accountable. I'm going to have to answer more God than you will. And God's going to say, okay, well, let's see, how well did you do it? That's why Paul said, not everybody should be in leadership. Not everybody should be teachers, because are you willing to count the cost? And I think as Christians, too, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you got to count the cost, right? Are you willing to count the cost? If you're going to say Jesus is Lord, and you're going to say, oh, yeah, he's my God, and I'm going to be a Christian, are you ready to count the cost? What does that mean? It's not a word. The Word of God is not word, it's power. That means we got to what? Live what we preach. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, for as many have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. So, whether you're the man who sinned without the law, without the Word of God, and if you're the man who sinned with the law, with the Word of God, Paul says, hey, you're both going to be judged. And it's going to be by your sins that it's going to be based on that God's going to judge you. We're talking practicing sin here. We're talking willful disobedience. I mean, we blow it. We blow it every day. But are you practicing it? Are you getting good at it? Are you looking forward to doing it? Are you in the midst of it and this is my lifestyle? That's what you got to be careful of. You know, the word for the law here, it's a general word. It refers to not only the law of God, it refers to both the scriptures, but he's talking about here, as many sin without the law also will perish without the law. He's also talking about the nature of man himself. The man who doesn't have the law, he doesn't have the scripture. According to scripture, he is a law of nature within him. Why? Because they know right from wrong, right? I don't think there's anybody in the world who doesn't know right from wrong. And the law is supposed, that law within them, their conscience, their nature, that's supposed to guide them to the Lord. If he sins against the law of nature, he still will be judged and he will die in his sin. He'll be judged by that. Because why? He is without excuse. There ain't going to be no excuses when we stand before God. Every one of us. And guess what? You're going to stand by yourself. Amen. You're not going to have your mommies to hold your hand. You're not going to have this person. Oh, Lord, wait a minute. Is Pastor Steve here? Lord, is Pastor Steve here? I'm over here. No. You're going to stand before the Lord all by yourself. And you got to answer to for what you did. You're going to have no one there to. Jesus will, obviously, he will be there. He will be our intercessor. But you got to stand before God. And so it's so important that we be careful. And those who don't know the Lord, they become a law within themselves because they know right from wrong. They have no excuse. They have the opportunity to know God through what? The nature of himself. And the same with every one of us who has the law. We have the very word of God. We have the word of God here, guys. But yet Paul says, you too are without excuse. We have no excuses. We can come up with so many excuses of, and I think one of the biggest one for Christians is, hey, guess what? We're going to have a Bible study. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to go witness. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do ministry. Are you going to join us? God willing. When people tell me God willing, what they're really telling me is no. They're just doing it in a way to say, okay, that's my excuse to say no. And it's biblical. Bible says everything you do, do as unto the Lord. Do the will of God. Everything you want to do, ask God will, God's will to be done. But sometimes we as Christians, we use that as our excuse to not go. I've done it before. Hey, can you, God willing, I got something else going on. You know? we got to be careful. Look what he says in verse 13. Verse 13, look what he says. He says, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. I mean, it's convicting, guys. It could be a little rough, maybe, but it's there for us to grow in Christ. He says it's the doers and not the hearers of the law that will be justified. It's the doers that will be found before God. They'll be found just. They'll be found innocent. They'll be found free and righteous before God. Why? Because they live the word of God to what? To the best of their ability. They do their best and they commit the rest. See, that's all God requires, is to do your best and commit the rest. But too many of us say, wow, I wish I had these great acts of God that I can share with somebody. Or, hey, how's your ministry doing? Oh, wow, God, is just, they're being saved by the thousands. No. Whatever God called you to do, that's what you do. And you do that. If God calls you to give somebody a glass of water, you give that guy a glass of water, and that's it. That's all he requires. You do your best, and you commit the rest to God. You see, it's not enough just to have the law or the word of God with you. It's just not enough to hear it from me, hear it on the radio, hear it from others. It's just not enough to see it right before your very eyes, even to understand it or even to profess it, to proclaim it, or even to teach it. That's not enough. But it's more than enough when a person be a doer of the law. That's when it's enough. You have to have that desire to obey it, to live it. We're talking the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and it dwelled among us. Who's he talking about? And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, the Word of God here, guys, is not given to us just to fit it around our schedule when I have time to read it. That's another excuse. And, you know, I'm not condemning it. I'm just sharing what people share with me. Are you reading the Word of God? Well, I don't have time to. Oh, you got time to do everything else. Well, why don't you just read it before you go to bed? I'm too tired. Well, why don't you get up a little earlier and have your devotion? Well, I just got to sleep in. You know, this Bible here is not for us to, for it to wrap around our schedules. It's not to sit on a bookshelf, not to sit on your table, not just to be on your walls. It wasn't given just to hear it. It was given to us so that we could obey it. We can live it. We can freely you receive what? Freely you what? Give. It's meant to give. It's meant to give. Oh, you know what? That's another thing they took now. They took my Bible. You know that Bible, the black one that has the case?
Oh, yeah.
I just now realized it's not in my truck. Praise God. That is great. But they're going to have pictures of my grandkids. Man, that's I'm bummed out now. That has all my notes and I could get like that, right? But I look at it as, you know what? Now we got the Bible itself, the Word of God itself. It's not just enough to have it and to put it in your walls, put it in your bookcases. Now, how many Bibles you got at home? And they're never being used. I'll tell you what, put it in your car. Go downtown, leave the door unlocked. And put there and say, free, take it. I'm just now realizing they got my Bible. That was my favorite Bible too. Praise God. All right, use it, Lord, for the furtherance of the gospel. So it's not enough just to be a doer of the law. He desires obedience. He desires us to live. In fact, John 1:1, again, Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word is God. It's not just enough to fit around our schedule. He wants us to give it away. And so Paul, he goes, and those who hear the law, they're not going to be justified before God. It's the doers of the law. They're the ones who are going to be justified. Listen to these scriptures, because they're very encouraging. I want to encourage you with these scriptures. John chapter 13, verse 17. Jesus said this, if you know these things, blessed are you who do them. You know what the word blessed means? Oh, how happy. If you know these things, then you're going to be happy if you do them. Who wants to be happy? Don't you want to be happy? Oh, how does that sound go? Be happy. You know? Oh, happy are you. James 1, 22, he says, but be doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving yourself. And see, that's what happens is if you just become a hearer of the word, sooner or later, you're just going to deceive yourself. You're going to start justifying your acts. You're going to start coming up with many excuses. If you're just hearing, it's not enough. Sunday is not enough, guys. Every day you should be in the Word of God. Every day you should speak Christianese. Every day you should be living the Word of God. Not just come on Sunday, listen, and then go about your, God, I give you, what, an hour and a half to God, but then the rest of my life goes to me. It's not like that. He says here, it's the doers of the Word of God that are going to be blessed. James says, the hearers are going to deceive themselves. 1 John 2:17, it says, and the world is passing away, the lust of it, but he who does the will of God will abide forever. Isn't that awesome? You do the word of God, you're going to abide forever. That means you're going to stay with the Lord. You're going to dwell with God. You're going to be established with the Lord. Your household will be established. Your kids will be established. You might not look like it, but they will. 1 John 2:17 says that. Revelation 22:14, it says, blessed are those who do his commandments. Why? Because they will have the right to the tree of life. And many enter through the gates into the city. You want a right to the tree of life? You want to live forever? How many of you want to live forever in these bodies?
No.
No. Can you imagine? If I had to live forever, and I can't imagine not having a neck for the rest of eternity. I can't imagine living in this body for the rest of my life. I have the Word of God. I have His commandments. And because I'm a doer of it, guess what? I have the right to the tree of eternal life. I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart. And I don't need to prove it. I have the scriptures that tell me it. And because it tells me it, I want to prove it. People say, how do you know you're saved? My changed life. Jesus tells me so. I was at Home Depot. We're at Home Depot picking up materials. And they sent a young guy to come out to help us put all these blocks in. We had to get 60 bags of mulch. And, oh, man, 60. And I just started giving him the Word of God. It was pretty awesome. And I said, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Do you want to? Oh, yeah. So I told him exactly how he would go to heaven. It was amazing because he was supposed to get to work, but he wasn't working. He was just kept talking. We kept talking about the Lord and the Lord and kept talking. Because you know what? When we do the word of God, we're going to be blessed. Revelation chapter 1, John said, blessed is he who reads the word of God. Got to read it, guys. And those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep these things which are written, for the time is near. You know what, guys? Now's the time not to chuck and jive. Now, if you were going to do that, you should have did it maybe 20 years ago. Not now, because we are in end times. And many are falling away. And it's getting worse. We might be going to war. I'm signing up for the Senior Citizen Brigade. But look at verse 14. Goes on, Paul says, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things of the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who shows the work of the law written in their hearts, in their conscience. It's also bearing witness. And between themselves, their thoughts, they're going to either accuse them or excuse them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So Paul shows us here that the Gentiles are those who don't know the Lord, the non-believers. They're a witness to themselves. You know what? They are capable of leading themselves to God. I know a brother who led himself to the Lord. He was in the military, in the Navy. He was out in Westpac, out in the ship. And he got a hold of the Bible. He read it, went out there, and accepted Christ. No one told him how. No one showed him how. He just read a few scriptures, went on the deck of the ship, prayed, and Jesus, he gave his life to the Lord. Those who don't know the Lord, they have the capability of leading themselves to God, to Christ. But that capability will either accuse them or excuse them. And everyone, because everyone knows the right from wrong, and they will be judged according to whether or not they live up to that knowledge of doing right or wrong. Just like Mexico, those who broke into my truck and took the Bible, took my backpack, took all those worship music, the Bible on CD. Now, that wrongdoing, they know it's wrong. They're going to look at it, and their conscience is either going to excuse them or it's going to accuse them. Because they're either going to get saved. They're going to get the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and that in itself is the capability of leading them to the Lord. What they stole, that's the capability of leading them to God. Because they're probably saying, oh, bummer. Oh, man, the Bible, I thought it was a purse with money and cards in it. It's a Bible. Whoa, it just fell and it opened up to John 3:16. Man. And you know what? Their witness has a threefold. Listen what Paul says here in verse 14. He says, when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things of the law, these, although not having the word of God, the law, they are a law to themselves. By nature, they are a law. The nature of man, it's clearly shown to them. We have that in Malachi chapter 6, verse 8, where it says, oh man, God has clearly shown you what he requires of you. How many here believe that God shows you what he requires of you? Right? Doesn't he show you? He makes it clear. He does the same with the Gentiles. And that's what's going to point them to God, is their conviction of the Holy Spirit. They might not have the law, but they can do the law by nature, and they can become a law to themselves by what? Doing what's right and accepting the fact that there is only one true God. You got to accept the fact, and you can't fight it. And that's in everyone. It's within our nature. That's what's going to stir them up. That's what's going to cause them to do the law. Why? Because they have enough knowledge in themselves to know right from wrong, and that's instilled in them, and that gives them the opportunity to do what is right. But it also refers to creation itself. Look at creation. Look at nature. How can they say there's no God? Look at birth. Look at babies being born. How can they say there's no God? Look at all the animals, everything. Look at the beauty of this world. And the fact that they were created by God as well. I mean, how can anybody believe in the evolution? You came from monkeys. Well, I mean, some of you, yeah, you, maybe you look like it, you know. You know, orangutan. If that's the case, then why aren't your brothers and sisters evolving? Why are they still in cages? What happened? Evolution just stopped all of a sudden? And they're still preaching it as gospel? But they're still monkeys. When are they going to evolve? When is my brother? I'm waiting for my older brother. It'd probably be a gorilla. When is he going to come knocking? Hey, I'm here, you know. Hey, yeah, I saw you in the zoo. No, it refers to creation also. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we read that. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. They're being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So what? They are without excuse. Just look around. Creation is witnessing for God 24 hours a day. All day long, we have creation showing the existence of God. And then second, look at verse 15. He says, who shows the work of the law within their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves through thoughts, their thoughts accusing them or excusing them. So not only do they have creation, the nature of themselves, they have their conscience that bears witness to what is right and wrong. When they try to do right, or when they do right, you know, there's that approval. You know, they get excited, they do right. And when they do wrong, they know they're doing wrong. There's that sense of disapproval. So their conscience gives them the opportunity to live and to do what's right and to do well, right? I mean, we have conviction. When I wasn't a Christian and Andy made me do a lot of bad things, I was convicted. I felt bad. I remember with Fernando when we and John and we did things. After it was like, all right, wow, look what we did. Yeah, yeah. When I went home, man, I felt bad. Why? Because there was that sense of conscience by nature in me to tell me that was wrong. It was wrong. And there's a God who will judge you for it. I knew it in my conscience. I knew it in my thoughts. It bear witness of my life. Man, I think about the things I did and just fighting that. I don't want to do it, but I had to do it. And then thirdly, look at the bottom of 15. It says, and between themselves, their thoughts are going to accuse them or excuse them. They have their thoughts. You know, the world, those who don't know the Lord, they have their reasoning. They have the ability to approve. They have the ability to disapprove. And it's their thoughts that they're going to be excused or they're going to be accused. Because it's their thoughts that will bear witness to how they should and should not live. Whether their behavior is acceptable, whether it's condemning. It's their thoughts. It's their nature within in themselves. That, guess what? Men can learn about God. It's through their conscience of doing what is right. To know between, again, right and wrong. That's the biggest thing. It's those thoughts that they can look at themselves and they can reason and have the ability to know God. So these three things, we learn to live with Him, for Him, to be doers of Him, to follow after His word. We can live in obedience. We can give honor to Him. We can glorify Him. We can live clean and pure lives. But most importantly, we can love others and not judge to condemn. So Paul's saying, hey, you guys, you're judging the Gentiles, but you who judge, are you doing the same thing? Love is the greatest commandment. Love is the greatest gift. Love covers the multitude of sin. And no greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his brother. Paul says, hey, that's the most important thing. Look at verse 16. And he goes on and says, and then in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, he says, according to my gospel. Guys, the day is going to come when he's going to judge the non-Christian. They're going to be judged by their nature, by their conscience, by their thoughts. And the believer, we're going to be judged by the scriptures, by the very word that we've been entrusted with. God's going to say, well, how did you live it? Were you a doer of it? Your life says right here, you should not do this. Wow, I'm doing that. Let's turn the next page. You know, so often we pick and choose what we want, something that's going to be around our schedule, something that's going to not, you know, convict us. A lot of Christians do that. A lot of you read something, oh, I don't want to hear that part. You know, you drown it out. In fact, what I want you to do. Never mind, I won't do that yet. I have something I'm going to do, but I probably won't be this Sunday. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyways, their conscience and their thoughts, you know, they're going to be judged, and we got the scriptures that they're going to judge us, and they're going to show us how to live for God. This is our manual right here. This is my life. I read this. Okay, God, if I have a question, it's all right here. Costa Mesa, when Chuck was around and he had his assistant pastor, when he did counseling, they would come in and set a counseling appointment. He would talk with them. He says, okay, get tape number so-and-so, read it, and do it. And that's it. Wouldn't share anything more. And they would go get the tape, listen to it, and he would not have them come back again because they didn't need to. Why? Because they had the Word of God. This is the answer right here. This is the best counsel there is. You have an issue, a problem? Jesus said, first seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. So God not only judges according to truth. Look at here, verse 2. You don't have to look, but chapter 2, verse 2, he says, but we know that the judgments of God is according to truth. He's also going to judge according to man's deeds in verse 6, where he says, I will render to each man according to deeds. And then here in verse 16, he's going to judge the secrets of men. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. God sees the heart, right? He has all the bases covered. There's no loopholes with God, guys. There's no read the small print. There's no pulling the wool over God's eyes. You can't. Why? His feet rest upon the earth. And if his feet rest upon the earth, can you imagine how big his head is? How can you pull anything over that? We serve a big God. Seriously. His feet rest on this earth. That's some big feet. He's a big God. How are you going to pull the wool over his head? How are you going to pull anything over him? You can't. He's God. He knows the heart. Hebrews 4, chapter 12. He says, for the word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even into the division of the soul and the spirit, to the joints and the marrow. And it is the discerner of the thoughts. It's the intents of the heart. So there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are what? Naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That's a big God. And I'm going to end it here because I do not want that big God coming down on me through a little woman named Carmen. Because he will. And she's got big feet too. Boom! Boom! Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Boom! Let's pray.